You know what I've always wanted for St. Peter's? What I've always wanted for everyone, but what I desperately have wanted for this church, is that kind of extravagant love, that wholehearted, costly, public love that Mary had. Just that, I just love you with everything that I have and everything that I am, and I give it to you, Jesus. That's what St. Paul, that's why he's saying in the first lesson, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the heavenly call of God in Christ. I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore about what is behind me. I press on to love Christ with all my heart, to go wherever Christ leads me, forgetting what lies behind, because nothing is more important than St. Paul's love for Jesus. And Mary, think of the image now of Mary with her hair. So you aren't allowed to show your hair ever. Once, certainly not once you're married, but you can't show your hair. And she takes it down in front of everyone. This is a nakedness, an unbridled nakedness, to take her hair down in front of Jesus and to wash his feet with it. And now I was thinking, this intimate, sensory, passionate love. You know, it's talking in the magazines now about the queen, the princess, the PDA, the royals are showing too much affection. They're kissing each other too much. Everybody sort of titters about that. You know, we had the Holy Spirit. We asked at the meditation class on Wednesday. We've been doing meditation on different topics, and so this time we did it on the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit leads us to meditation. And so I asked everybody to stand up and open their hands finally. And after we'd been studying for a while about the Holy Spirit, just ask for the Holy Spirit's presence to come upon us. And the Holy Spirit was there in a very deep and real way. And I asked the Holy Spirit to fill the people who had come that night. And the Holy Spirit did. And this charming woman came up to me. She is a Roman Catholic. She doesn't come to the Episcopal Church. She was invited by someone to give us a try in that meditation class. And she actually came up and she said to me, "Janet, can you do this anytime you like?" This Holy Spirit is always there. Anytime you like, when you open your arms and ask to be filled, the Holy Spirit is always there. And she pressed it, you know. I'll come back next week. Get it again. Do you feel that for Jesus? Do you worship that way? See, he didn't have any professional skills. He didn't have a prayer book. Can you imagine that? He didn't have a prayer book. And it all happened. It all happened in spite of that. You know, John Wimber, the leader of the Vineyard movement, I followed him for a week, and I remember him saying that when he first learned about Christianity, he didn't really know much about Christianity, so he read the Bible, but by himself, like there was nobody there to tell him what it really meant. So he read it, and he started coming to church. And he was trying to be very patient. And he sat in little rows like you are, in little wooden stalls just like you are. And he was very patient. It went on for week after week and week. Finally, he made an appointment with the priest, pastor. It was a pastor. And he said to the pastor, when do we get to do the stuff that's in here? And after that, he always called it the stuff. And when we'd ask for the passionate, loving worship of God, he'd say, we would wait, you know, he would teach and teach. I'd be like, oh, Lord, I got to learn more, because when are we going to do this stuff? And finally, we'd do the stuff, you know, we get filled. We'd have extravagant worship. And I want to ask you, I was speaking to a young couple, a member of this church now, has a child in our program. And they said, you know, Janet, why is it that we only get like this much of the stuff? If we get more of the stuff. And I mean, what's the price for this lack of extravagant worship? The price for pulling our punches. My son is in a business school program, and I guess one of the tortures that they put them through is that they all write little, they all analyze each other anonymously, and then you get a little report on how you're doing. This is why I would never go to business school. And so he gets this little report, and apparently he's keeping up with the class, and he's doing this, and they think that his, you know, you understand. But they say that he doesn't share enough what he really thinks. And of course, it's scary to share what you really think. Passion, absolute passion. And how many of you hold back your love from your loved ones because of some ridiculous resentment, some unsolved little mystery about stuff? Yeah, we'll be friends when we work out that situation about the time when you didn't pay me back for this lawnmower. How ridiculous. Pulling the punch of our own love, holding back on our own love and our own desire to be able to be people who love. Loving Jesus extravagantly makes us able to love ourselves extravagantly too. So she kneels before him with this hair. And what's the next thing? Well, she submits her whole self. She kneels before him. Now, there's a man in the came to the Market Street Mission to get sober about 5 or 6 years ago. He started to come to church here at St. Peter's, and he had had a really rough time. And so now he's one of the head waiters at Roots. And he wears that, you know, tan. If you've been to Roots, the steakhouse, he wears the tan jacket. He's very handsome in it. And he said to me, and by the way, he's moved up through the ranks. He's at the front of the a restaurant where they sell the cowboy steaks. And he said, Janet, you know, I got married. I said, was this wonderful? And he said, and I put a down payment on a house. See, you know how many people go by that program and they say, well, I don't really need it. I don't really need it. I need some of it, not the whole thing. I don't need the hospital of St. Peter's. I don't really need it. I go and people, you know, I help them and they help me. And it's like a tip, you know, an emotional tip. But look what he got. He submitted himself. He turned his will and his life over to the care of God. And through that, he got his whole life back. He didn't pull any punches. Neither did Mary. She kneels before him. You know, in the United States Army, they teach courses in leadership. And apparently, Harvard Business School, which I learned is called HBS. I learned something new. I went to Yale, has a leadership thing or whatever, and they kept talking about HBS, and I thought they were talking about like a department store. Anyway, apparently at HBS, they teach leadership, and they use some of this Army information, and I guess the first thing the general is supposed to do is get to know the people. So when they come in, the general comes in, he says hello to the various people, you know, and he shakes their hand or whatever, and that's good. And connects with them. But at one point, one of the fellows in Harvard Business School, the student, said to the general, I've been called into active service, and I need to leave Harvard Business School right in the middle of my program to go into active service. What do you think about that? And the general said to him, congratulations. Because, you know, being able to serve is the highest honor. Use me however you will, it's the highest honor. That comes first. Jesus comes first. Jesus is first. Service is first. And everything else follows from that. And that's what she teaches us when she bows down, when she kneels before the Savior, her King. Look, waking every single... You want to wake every single morning looking forward to the day? You want to get up in the morning filled with energy no matter what it looks like? You want to be like that? Learn that lesson. Serve the King of Kings. And then you're in the right place. And wherever you go, you're anointed. And it's public. She doesn't do it in private. It's not some little thing she works out between herself and other people who agree with her. She gets out there in front of everybody and does it. And even when they laugh at her, even when Judas makes fun of her, does that make a difference to her? She probably didn't like it very much, but she did it anyway. And she's poor. And she has no right to be there, and she's the wrong sex, and none of that makes any difference because she is not looking at the world for her permission to serve the Lord Jesus. And don't you look at the world for your permission to serve the Lord Jesus. She certainly doesn't. And now let's get to this costly perfume. This incredibly expensive bottle of perfume. Somebody sent me a text. She said, Janet, mention the $300 perfume. I don't know where that comes from because I never had any $300 perfume, but I would like some. This costly perfume, this nard that she pours on him. You know, you should know that in Mark, she pours it on his head because she anoints him as her king. And that's how King David was anointed. And that's how Solomon was anointed. That's how kings are anointed. She knows who he is. And she gives him this costly thing because she gives him what she has. And this is why it's so important that we tithe. This is why it's so important that we give to the church. Not because the church needs it. And not because, but we don't want to, you don't want to figure out, you never want to figure out with a church what you can afford. That's why we give a percentage of what we have, because what we mean is part of my household is with you and with this community, because we are together and we're on this boat together. She gives costly perfume. That's why it's fancy here. Not to put on airs, not to keep people away, not to be impressive, but because it's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords we worship. When I was 16 years old, or I don't know when that was, 55, 65, 70, early 70s. Anyway, there was hippies around. And I wanted to go to temple in blue jeans and t-shirts and a black armband. Actually, I wore flannels, flannel shirt, black armband, a thing around here, a daisy, and ripped pants. And I wanted to go to a temple like that. And, of course, I went to a cool temple on 55th Street and Lexington Avenue in New York, so nobody stopped us. But the father of the rabbi of the temple happened to be there one day, and I came in, and he said, "You know, Janet, when we were in the shtetl and we had nothing at all, even in the shtetl, we always saved our best dress for Shabbat. And we would put our best dress on for Shabbat because this day was for the God Almighty." I never didn't dress again. I heard him completely. What a wonderful thing. To be able to put on your best dress for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. To have the ability to be able to give. And that's what she's able to do. This extravagance that she has. Intimate. Passionate. Public. Devoted. And costly. And now finally, these last words. And we got to hear them, you know, these last words. Jesus says, "You will not always have me with you. You will not always have me with you. This is the truth. We are not on this earth forever. It's really quite limited, the number of hugs we have to give, the number of time that we have to learn and love each other and learn from each other. It goes away. Children grow old. We grow old. We get sick. People die. Everything dies. Paul knew it. Jesus would die. His earthly time would be up, and so will yours. Our time is not unlimited, and every minute not given to the King of Kings is lost for that love. And so let us not waste it. Let us not spend our time needlessly, as Judas Iscariot does, traveling over things that do not matter. I remember a story I heard once, finally, that helped me. You know, I talked about the frog last week, or the week before last. I said, that frog ain't different than any other frog. If you, anybody here remember my frog? Okay. I have another frog today. So I get people ready to get married. And when I get them ready to get married, they take a little test. And it's a computer program. And they both take the test independently, and then I get a little booklet, and it says where they agree and where they don't agree. And so, like, for instance, sometimes it's a couple, and one of them makes decisions very quickly, and the other person in the couple makes decisions very deliberately and slowly. And so my job is to prepare them for marriage, is to say, you know, how are you going to work this out? And well, they're madly in love, so they work it out perfectly nicely in my office. But I know a secret about what's really happening. See, what's really happening is that they think that when they get married, their partner is going to get better. I know they think that. I can't convince them otherwise. They think that if they kiss the frog, it's going to turn into a prince. They are wrong. It is still going to be a frog. And I guess what I'm really trying to say to you is follow Mary. Follow Mary. And tonight, if there happens to be a frog sleeping next to you, would you please kiss it and love it with your whole heart? And if there's a frog sitting next to you in the pew, would you care about it? And maybe there's a frog at the store or wherever it is, or some frog you can call up on the telephone, because we're not here very long. And the opportunity to love with our whole hearts is demonstrated by Jesus, who went all the way to the cross. That's how much love he had. And taught us the fruits of joy that can be ours even now. Amen.